morning. It is 11:30 on November 21st, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I call this special meeting to order. I'm joined today by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak here in the room, as well as Commissioner Brian Crotius via telecommunications device. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't.
Commissioner Crotius?
I don't.
We have, I don't know if it's considered one or two items on the calendar for the special commission meeting. It's two case numbers. Case number GE-18-391 and GE-18-392. Both tied into one motion. And so I move the commission issue an ex parte cease and desist order and a corresponding notice of opportunity for hearing in Public Service Commission, Hunter Hansen, doing business as Nodak Grain, ex parte cease and desist, case number GE-18-391, and Public Service Commission, Midwest Grain Trading, ex parte cease and desist, case number GE-18-392.
Second.
On November 21st, actually this morning, the director of the Public Service Commission Compliance Division filed an affidavit providing the commission with information regarding Hunter Hansen, the owner of Midwest Grain Trading, and Hunter Hansen doing business as Nodak Grain. Nodak Grain is licensed as a grain warehouse at Roarville, North Dakota, since September 11th of 2018. And a ton bridge since June 25th of 2018. As required by the Century Code, Nodak Grain has a $150,000 bond on file with the Public Service Commission. Midwest Grain Trading, owned by Hunter Hansen, is licensed as a roving grain buyer since May 16th of 2017. Midwest Grain Trading has a $400,000 bond on file with the PSC. The affidavit indicates several emails or other contacts with various producers or grain dealers indicating issues with being paid for their commodities. The affidavit also indicates that in the last, looks like, few weeks here, the commission has received over 50 calls from elevators and producers who have sold grain to Midwest Trading and has had grain picked up by Midwest Grain Trading or delivered to Nodak Grain. The persons who have called the commission about this matter indicated that Midwest Grain Trading and Nodak Grain issued checks to pay for grain and that the checks have been returned unpaid, indicating non-sufficient funds, stop payment, or have been canceled, and that Midwest Grain Trading or Nodak Grain has otherwise not paid amounts owed for the grain. I want to emphasize there was a few that have actually submitted the information in the form of a complaint. The large number are calls, and so that evidence isn't necessarily to us yet. It appears, though, that Nodak Grain has violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to faithfully perform the licensee's duties as a public warehouseman, and that Midwest Grain Trading has violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to faithfully perform the licensee's duties as a roving grain buyer. The affidavit indicates that staff is preparing documents for filing with district court, asking that Midwest Grain Trading and Nodak Grain be declared insolvent, the commission be appointed trustee, and the sureties be joined as a party to the insolvency proceedings.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just a couple questions for staff from my perspective. Does this count as a cash sale then? and a converted ticket since they actually sold the grain and attempted to get paid, it wouldn't be a credit sale contract. There's no contract for credit sale in the ones that we know of to date that are talking about the checks bouncing.
This is Alana, counsel. Those determinations have not been made. That would be after a full investigation, after the commission's appointed trustee and a full investigation of claims is done, there will be a recommendation from staff to the commission, and then if the commission agrees, a recommendation of the commission to court about what those claims are. And it's way too early in the game to have an answer to your question.
Okay. So how long do they have to, once this step is completed, the next steps are what?
This step is to stop them from doing any further activity one way or the other, and they have 15 days from issuance to request a hearing, because this is happening without their right to be heard, but they have a right to ask for that afterwards within the 15 days. This is kind of a proceeding of its own. It is not the insolvency proceeding, so the commission still has to open that docket, get that paperwork ready, make that filing in district court. Usually the commission asks the district court for a very similar type of cease and desist then under court jurisdiction. And so that would be next as soon as we can get that work done. We would be coming to the commission with our recommendation for you to file in district court.
And so folks who are out there who hear this and think, I might be part of this, what do they do?
Well, they certainly can contact us now, but in a formal insolvency proceeding, if the commission is appointed and finds that the insolvency test is met, because the elevator or the buyer has an opportunity to dispute that at court. But assuming that that is found, then a notice is published, and there's a 45-day period, I believe, from that second publication, I believe, for all claimants to get it. So claimants have some time, but they certainly can contact us ahead of time if they wish. There will be formal documentation, and I believe we send that notice to everybody that we have names for, that we have found either that because they contacted us or because we found them on the records of the entity. And so there is a bit of time yet for people to file, but they can certainly call if they wish.
Today we're just protecting the assets.
And trying to stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm. Take any more grain, stop any transactions coming or going.
Mm-hmm. As well as starting the time clock on their, was it 15 days to ask for a hearing on this?
That's correct, yeah. A hearing just on this cease and desist part of it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I believe I will need to authorize John Hamry to sign in my absence.
Okay, thank you for doing so. Any other closing thoughts here?
Just thanks to staff for getting on this, Conrad and Alana, for all the time you spent putting the documentation together and communicating with the company in the last week or so and trying to minimize the losses as much as possible at this point. So that's an important step, and it's unfortunate to see another one of these. We've had a little spell now without them, but we've got some experience in working through them, so we'll plug away and do our very best on behalf of any folks that might be impacted, and perhaps the company will be able to come through and make it right in the next 15 days. That can be our first hope.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned, but we will take some time post-meeting to take questions from the press.
So the clock starts with this, correct?
Correct.
When all is said and done, it'll have to be a court decision before you can access these their surety bonds or whatever.
Right. We will be asking the court to appoint us ultimately to become the trustee and marshal the assets that we're allowed to marshal. Bond, the grain that might be on hand, accounts receivable, things such as that.
At this point, then, you don't have a count on how many complaints there might be. This starts the clock for that. And then your investigation is going to show if they have grain on hand that could be sold.
Just repeat the last part of that.
And your investigation will show if the elevator has grain on hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we'll be doing a thorough review of all the books that we're able to get access to and scale tickets and things like that and start the process. Ultimately, you know, presuming this moves forward, that there's not a request for a hearing and there's some evidence to show that everything is fine, but in a normal insolvency process, then these various complaints that I mentioned, I think it's around 50, they would need to file, you know, a more formal thing so that we can evaluate it. Because one thing that I want to emphasize, you know, in past cases, sometimes complaints can come in, or claims can come in, rather, that don't pertain to us, maybe for doing some providing fuel or something like that. That's not part of this. So I don't know if any of the calls that we've received have to do with things like that, but through the whole process, we'll narrow it down to the valid claims.
And you both mentioned it. Commissioner Fedorchuk said, when was the last time you actually dealt with this kind of potential insolvency?
Grand Forks Bean in December of 14, I believe. 13?
Yeah. It's been a while.
What? That was that long ago?
Yeah.
The one we just finished? Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That lasted that long? Because, no, I think it was 14.
I think it was 14.
13 was our first year on the commission, and it wasn't that. Because there was a couple others that year. There was, I think, two that year. I think this might be our fourth.
I think it was December of 14. And that was a one with a lot of complexity involved in it. And from the very early indications that we have here, this looks like another one with a lot of complexity. You know, you got two facilities licensed. There's a roving grain buyer license involved, and a lot of calls come in already. So this appears to be a pretty complex case.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Right. Thank you. Anderson Seed. Falkirk was done before we got here. Mitch.